This is WWJ All Local.
Dearborn City leaders are urging unity and calm ahead of a planned protest by a conservative activist tonight. But things have already been heated.
Organizers predict as many as 50,000 people could descend on Dearborn tonight for a protest being called the Christian Crusader March. The demonstration comes after conservative influencer Jake Lang says he was assaulted during a separate protest in Dearborn earlier this month. Lang says he's here to push back against what he calls the Islamification of America. Tensions were high hours before the protest. One man, Michael Wallace Jr., shared his thoughts.
Christian church, everybody's welcome. And if you watch the mayor talking, he says, oh, we're in community with the people around us. And then go watch some of his other videos. He spews hatred towards Americans. He wants death to Americans.
And conservatives at the protest say that they believe Dearborn should be a more inclusive place when it comes to electing city officials and law enforcement. Darrellyn Horn, WWJ News Radio 950.
A Detroit man is facing 18 felony charges after being accused of mailing drugs to multiple Michigan jails. 36-year-old John Calhoun was arraigned yesterday on charges filed by Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. The investigation at eight locations, including the Thumb, Muskegon, and Chippewa correctional facilities, began back in 2024 when some suspicious mail was intercepted by officials. Calhoun is charged with one count each of conducting a criminal enterprise and delivery of a controlled substance between 50 and 449 grams, and eight counts each of bringing contraband into prisons, delivering a controlled substance less than 50 grams. His next court appearance is set for August 24th.
Two of Detroit's most prominent cultural institutions are teaming up for a November ballot request, seeking 10 years of funding from Wayne and Oakland County voters. Now, operators of the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History and the Detroit Historical Society are seeking a 0.2 mil request for the next decade, which would amount to roughly $30 a year for a home with a taxable value of $300,000. Neil Barclay is president and CEO of the Wright Museum.
I think in terms of the cost, we really wanted to get it down to something that people say, well, is it worth X to have my kids go to the museums for free, to have my teachers have curriculum guides, have seniors come in and bus it. There's a lot of services that we provide for that, and when you think for $3 a month, this is all you get. I think it's on balance a good proposal. We'll see what the voters think.
In order for the millage to pass in November, it needs voter approval in both Wayne and Oakland counties.
The University of Michigan has chosen its next president, the 17th in school history. With more, here's WWJ's Pat Vitale.
The school is turning to Vanderbilt University for its next leader. See Sibel Raver, who is currently provost and vice chancellor for academic affairs there. She will succeed Domenico Grasso, who was named U of M's president in May after Kent Siverud, the original pick for the job, withdrew after being diagnosed with a form of brain cancer. The U of M Board of Regents started a national search for its next president in May. Raver earned her PhD in developmental psychology from Yale University. She has served as Vanderbilt's provost since 2021. Prior to that, she was a deputy provost at New York University and held faculty roles at the University of Chicago and Cornell. Pat Vitale, WWJ News Radio 950.
It's shaping up to be another midnight showdown at the border, as work continues on a U.S.-Canadian deal to stop President Trump's 50% tariff hike from going into effect at midnight. Now, Mary Buchziger, CEO of Auburn Hills-based automotive supplier based Lucerne International, says the industry continues to crave policy stability.
Wherever the tariffs may land, they just need to land already. We've been circling around the airport and everybody's starting to get a little airsick. It's time to put the plane down so that we can put some stability in front of us and actually start making plans to march forward with a little bit of certainty under our belts.
A June poll conducted by the Michigan Smart Trade Alliance shows that nearly 3 in 4 Michigan residents believe tariffs are contributing to higher inflation and increasing prices.
Michigan teacher pay has fallen more than in any other state over the past 3 decades.
That's according to a new report from Michigan State University. The study finds the average teacher salary, adjusted for inflation, dropped 29% since 1995, from the equivalent of about $100,000 to $71,000 last year. Michigan's average starting salary has fallen to 45th nationally at just over $43,000. Meanwhile, nearly 72% of Michiganders surveyed say starting teacher salaries should increase, with respondents putting the ideal starting salary at about $55,000. Jeremy Jenkins, WWJ, News Radio 950.
A deadly crash on Telegraph Road in Brownstown Township is now under investigation. Police saying that a 53-year-old man from Newport died after his minivan crashed into the back of a large box truck around 9:30 this morning. Now, investigators say that box truck was stopped on Telegraph near Sibley and waiting to turn into a business lot when it was hit. The minivan driver died at the scene. It is not clear why he did not stop. No other injuries were reported.
An explosion at a recycling business in Toledo has left 2 people dead. The first calls came in just before 5 o'clock this morning about an explosion and fire at Brent Industries. The mayor of Toledo says a shift change was taking place at the time. Resident Demetrius Langston says he heard and felt 2 explosions from about a half a mile away.
The second one was even more scary because, yeah, you don't know where it's coming from. And, you know, you wonder what vicinity it's in because you have loved ones in the city.
Brent Industries operates an industrial textile reconditioning and recycling facility. Firefighters faced hazardous material concerns because the business stores chemicals, cylinders, and tanks containing mineral spirits. The fire chief says it's too early to determine whether the flammable chemicals contributed to the explosion.
The Ypsilanti Township Board of Trustees could vote tonight on a new moratorium, which is focused on delaying the construction of a $1.2 billion data center for the University of Michigan in partnership with the Los Alamos National Laboratory. Now, the board will consider a resolution that establishes that 6-month moratorium in which no major electric utility facility can be built within the township. This new data center, which is scheduled to be built along Textile Road near Bridge Road, is scheduled to have a new DTE substation supply the power to the facility. The township's attorney has said that university officials are not being transparent with their plan.
2 Detroit-area restaurants will be shuffling on the stage tonight for Kitchen Nightmares. Today's episode of Kitchen Nightmares, hosted by celebrity chef Gordon Ramsay, will feature Boodle's Restaurant in Madison Heights near 11 Mile in the I-75 service drive. The 40-year-old restaurant is known for its Caesar salad made tableside and its live piano player. Then on September 15th, the season finale of Kitchen Nightmares will feature Warren's Firenze Restaurant, which, by the way, has been closed since June of 2025. Gordon Ramsay filmed the episodes last year.
Builders are feeling the pressure of stubbornly high interest rates as a recent report from the Census Bureau shows a dramatic drop in housing starts.
No region of the country was spared the bad news, but the Northeast saw the steepest drop. Housing starts last month fell 9.9% compared to June and nearly 16% below July of last year. The average 30-year fixed mortgage stands at 6.68%, slightly lower than its 2026 peak.
That's ABC's Jim Ryan reporting.
A surveillance camera installed outside of a Madison Heights cannabis shop has now been removed after a public outcry over privacy.
Jaws Cannabis said it reached an agreement with the city to remove the flock camera that was set up and pointed directly into the pot shop's parking lot at 12 Mile and 75. The camera was not simply a security feature. It was a condition of a lawsuit settlement that allowed Jaws to open up in Madison Heights in the first place. Jaws says customers raised concerns about the technology and held Jaws accountable. During the last 2 weeks, the company placed a large no flock zone sign in front of the flock camera. The city gave them 48 hours to take that sign down. They did. And now today, the flock camera is gone. The company tells Cranes Detroit this isn't a victory lap and felt a responsibility to correct the situation. Now, we did just receive a statement from Madison Heights saying that yes, the city did give Giles permission to remove the camera while the city council reconsiders a new settlement agreement. Oh, and by the way, that large no flock zone sign, that's back. In Madison Heights, Tim Pamplin, WWJ News Radio 950.
For the latest news plus traffic and weather together on the 8s, tune to AM 950. Follow WWJ on our Odyssey app or ask Alexa to play WWJ News Radio 950.